Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we've got some news for you. And we're going to start with, I don't know. I watched that damn debate last night and was not overly impressed again. But it's not the debate. It's just the two momos that are running, you know. I don't know. I talked to several people today on this, and they all feel the same way and from different walks of life, and they just kind of, you know.
Well, I think people are catching on how little control we really have.
Well, it's not so much control as it is choice, you know. There's no choice. I mean, these guys are Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you know.
Well, and we have very little control over who they put up and who gets elected.
I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not. I don't think that anymore. I think that we have a lot to say about who's getting elected. It's just that we're being controlled by the media, you know, to do it. You know what I mean? It's a strange.
Well, it's a two-party system. Democrat and Republican, and it's closed to any other idea.
That's right. That's right.
And that's not good.
And that's wrong. And so much of it's wrong because we got to look at these two jugheads, you know, up there sitting around talking about bullshit, and you know, really not getting to the point, and you know, it's just aggravating as hell.
Well, as I said to you, Leo, in private, Mr. Romney, there, he's the master of the topic sentence. His whole campaign is full of topic sentences. If he were writing a thesis, he'd get an F. He has beautiful topic sentences, but he doesn't know how to build a case because he doesn't have one.
Yeah,
he has nothing.
And Obama keeps bringing that up, but at the same time, Obama falls on his ass because he doesn't have a vision. You know,
He's
not taking us anywhere. He's taking us down the same road. And you got this asshole Bernanke. Okay, he was the Fed chairman there that's printing money right and left. We got, you know, we're looking at a possible, we're looking at almost $16 trillion in debt. And you know, there was no end in sight. And so you got to do one of two things.
Well, let's face it.
End the debt.
No, you got to get rid of the Federal Reserve.
By doing that, you get rid of the Fed and you end the debt. Okay, and say, we no longer owe you any more money, you bastards, you.
That's right.
And
get rid of the bankers.
Throw it out. Hang the bastards, you know, for putting us in this position. And, you know, that would be the end of it. All right?
And we'd all live happily ever after.
We'd be printing our own money, you know, doing our own central banking. Okay? We wouldn't have to deal with this crap. All right? But no. No, you're not going to do that because you got too many crooked
and if we politicians. And if we got out of a war or two, that would be helpful.
Get out of both wars. Get out of, you know, pull back. Ron Paul had the right idea, you know, the right idea. Just pull out, you know.
And, but you see what happened to him.
But look what happened to him.
Oh,
you know?
Supposedly he
you
was,
wonder if he got threatened to get out of the race because he got out of it so abruptly that, you know, It was just really sick. Or, you know, I don't know if he got paid off. He could have gotten paid off. Get out of there, too. But, and then his idiot son, Rand Paul, you know, backed Romney. So it was like, oh, God, you know. There's just no justice in this world, in politics. So,
well, anyway.
That's why I just can't stand it. You might want to read this one on Haiti.
Kind of interesting.
Remember all your millions of dollars and billions of dollars that went to the Haiti Relief Fund back about 2 years ago? Well, the bastards were, you know, Lila called them the triumvirate of evil. And those bastards stood up and, you know, Obama, George Bush, and Bill Clinton
asked for help
and
money
for Haiti. And all the damn, you know, and Bush said, don't send clothes and stuff, just send cash.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, all that money, most of that money didn't even get to these people.
Well, you know where it went.
It wound up in the pockets of politicians and developers and everybody else. And now there's something even more, and Lila's going to read it.
This article is by Suzanne. Clinton presides at star-studded opening of Haitian Industrial Park by Susan Ferrara and Andrew Quinn. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton presided over the opening of a $300 million industrial park in Haiti on Monday, a venture led by a South Korean textile company that could bring thousands of jobs to the impoverished Caribbean island. The people of this country have made real progress in a short time, and we've reached a critical moment, Clinton told an investor lunch for 50 people after touring the 600-acre park. We have a chance to keep moving together forward, but it's going to take partnership and support for the private sector from all of you, she told the audience, which included U.S. activists Sean Penn and Ben Stiller, British airline mogul Richard Branson, and New York designer Donna Karan. Former President Bill Clinton, who is the United Nations Special Envoy for Haiti, was also on hand. Located between Haiti's second-largest city, Cap-Haïtien, and the northern border with the Dominican Republic, the Caracol Industrial Park is seen as one of the few major successes in efforts to rebuild Haiti after a devastating earthquake in January 2010 that killed more than 200,000 people. In a romantic twist for the Clintons, it was their first joint visit to the country since they traveled to Haiti for a delayed honeymoon in 1975. Isn't that sweet? At a time when the Haitian government is grappling with a slow recovery from the earthquake, corruption, and various threats to political stability, the Caracol Park has been embraced as a real sign of progress. Haiti is open for business, and this government means it, Haitian President Michel Martelly said. In the past, sad images of Haiti have been shown around the world. But Haiti is not just about these images, he said. We are committed to taking all appropriate measures to make it easier for you to invest in Haiti. Sprawling across a quiet stretch of agricultural land, the fresh asphalt and scrub-blue buildings of the industrial park stand in sharp contrast to its mostly pastoral surroundings. Nearby are rows of brightly painted houses in various stages, complete and built to house future workers. The development of northern Haiti has been discussed for many years but became a priority because of the international community's effort to help rebuild. It is hoped that the park will not only begin to chip away at Haiti's problem of chronic unemployment, but also launch a movement of decentralization away from the overcrowded capital of Port-au-Prince in the south. The park's promoters cite optimistic long-term estimates of 130,000 new jobs. About 1,000 people are already employed at the park's two factories, one operated by South Korean textiles and apparel company and the other by a Haitian paint firm. The number of jobs is due to grow by 5,000 by the end of 2013 as more facilities open. Critics say the promise of future jobs lure thousands of people in the poorest country in the Americas from the countryside to the capital. Most wound up living in swelling slums, which fueled political instability that caused many factories to close. The Inter-American Developmental Bank committed an initial $55 million investment for the park's construction, and the founding investor, South Korea textile company, Trading Company Limited, committed an additional $78 million to develop operations in the park, along with promise to employ 20,000 Haitians. Starting wages for Caracol's workers will be at the minimum wage. Critics have lamented a return to factory-based economy initiatives, saying it will not help pull Haitians out of poverty. some of the more than 300 farmers who were displaced from their fields to make way for the industrial park have protested their lost income. The park is part of a master plan for Haiti's North and Northeast departments, including the expansion of Camp Haitian Airport to accommodate large international flights and a planned port in Fort Liberté. And that's
so essentially, it looks like another big boondoggle over a lot of wasted money.
And that could be true.
Minimum wage jobs, and that's only a few. And they didn't say who's backing it other than one textile firm.
Well, we are. We put in a bunch of money. They put in $78 billion, and we put in $55 billion. Now, here's something. How the mainstream media deceives you with its magic tricks. This could be kind of interesting. Because we all get deceived. This is from Waking Times. And Pao L. Chang is the guest writer. Not how that happened, but it did.
It hit one of those things.
Okay, words of caution. The videos at the end of this page contain visual evidence that will change how you view the reality that you live in and help free your mind. If you are happy with how the world works and like to think that everything that you have learned throughout your life is true, this article is probably not for you. It is probably best that you stop reading this article because you will most likely be offended. However, if you want to free your mind and finances to why the world is such a mess, it will be a good idea to continue reading. On the other hand, if you are a truth seeker, a person who seeks for the truth with little fear of the unknown, then this article should be of great interest to you. Mainstream media in the U.S. and most European countries usually contain roughly 25% truths and 75% distorted information and lies. The percentage of truths and lies will vary depending on the subject that is being covered. As for the media in other countries, the truths and lies will vary the truths and lies will vary depending on how controlled their countries are. They didn't put the ED on there. Most people in the U.S. do not realize that the mainstream media outlets are owned and controlled by only 6 corporations. Below are 2 paragraphs extracted from the Economic Collapse blog.com. Back in 1983, approximately 50 corporations controlled the vast majority of all news media in the United States. Today, ownership of the news media has been concentrated in the hands of just 6 incredibly powerful media corporations. These corporations, corporate behemoths, control most of what we watch, hear, and read every single day. They own television networks, cable channels, movie studios, newspapers, magazines, publishing houses, music labels, and even many of our favorite websites. The 6 corporations that collectively control the U.S. media today are Time Warner, Walt Disney, Viacom, Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation, CBS Corporation, and NBC Universal. Together, the Big 6 absolutely dominate news and entertainment in the United States. But even those areas of the media that the Big 6 do not completely control are becoming increasingly concentrated. For example, Clear Channel now owns over 1,000 radio stations across the United States. Companies like Google and Yahoo and MicroStar are increasingly dominating the Internet. Why controlling the media is essential for domination. Why are these 6 corporations so interested in dominating the U.S. mainstream media? The reason is because the media is one of the most effective tools to control the mass population. When they control the media, they can influence how the public thinks. Controlling how the public thinks is one of the first steps to controlling its mind and influencing how it thinks. In other words, this is how they enslave us without our knowledge. influencing how we think is great for making them money, because once they influence our thought patterns to a degree, they can motivate us to buy their unhealthy foods and drugs and plant false knowledge into our minds. How to protect yourself from this? For we, the people of the world, to regain our powers and freedom, we need to rise above the deceptions and lies found in the mainstream media and remove the corrupt leaders who are in charge of it. Until the corrupt leaders and the mainstream media are removed, my advice is to believe 25% of the news in the media and take the other 75% as potential false news. Some great techniques to help you do this are to cross-reference the information with independent sources. Below are three great videos that show proof that the U.S. mainstream media is full of lies and distorted information. Even those videos focus on the U.S. mainstream media. Many of the tricks that the U.S. media used to influence the mind of its population are also heavily practiced in mainstream media outlets throughout the world. As always, use your intuition to help you discern the information in these videos. Want to try one of these?
Well, I'm just there with one.
Okay.
And I don't know how long they're.
This is Access Hollywood.
Oh, what a waste that is.
This video is not intended for everyone. If you are content with the way the world is today, then don't watch this video, because if you do, you will go on an emotional roller coaster ride like you've never been on before.
Hearts and good nature. Yeah, Ken.
Mr. President, earlier this year you told us you had ordered your administration to cease and desist on payments to journalists to promote your agenda. You cited the need for ethical concerns and the need for a bright line between the press and the government. Your administration continues to make the use of video news releases, which are prepackaged news stories sent to television stations, fully aware that some or many of these stations will air them without any disclaimer that they are produced by the government. Comptroller General of the United States this week said that raises ethical questions. Does it raise ethical questions about the use of government money to produce stories about the government that wind up being aired with no disclosure that they were produced by the government?
There is a Justice Department opinion that says these pieces are within the law so long as they're based upon facts, not advocacy. And I expect our agencies to adhere to that ruling, to that Justice Department opinion. It's been a long-standing practice of the federal government to use these types of videos. Agriculture Department, as I understand, has been using these videos for a long period of time. Defense Department, other departments have been doing so. It's important that they be based on the guidelines set out by the Justice Department. Now, I think it'd be helpful if local stations then disclose to their viewers that that this was based upon a factual report and they chose to use it. But evidently, in some cases, that's not the case. So anyway.
Guarantee that's happening by including that language in the prepackaged report.
You mean a disclosure, George W. Bush and I?
Well, some way to make sure it's been there without the disclosure that you believe is so vital.
Ken, I mean, there's a procedure that we're going to follow, and local stations ought to, if there's a deep concern about that, ought to tell their viewers what they're watching.
I thought of listening to George Bush again, it makes me sick. I shook it off.
For one of the videos, going to show you a few small techniques that the average actor knows that they employ to create.
That sucked, honestly. Anything with George W. Bush sucks. But
it's a little boring.
Let's go on from there to another article.
I think I would advise folks to maybe read that and listen to those videos themselves. I think
Waking Times is where it is. The Waking Times.com.
Germany announced announces its intention to repatriate all its gold from the New York Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Why would they have had their gold
well,
here?
A lot of the gold around the world is there for trade. You know, it's held in trade. You know, for currency.
The German Constitution Court has ruled that the Bundesbank must conduct an audit on German central bank and gold holdings. In anticipation, it has begun the repatriation of German gold from the New York Fed.
The Bundesbank will request the New York Fed ship 50 tons of German gold back to the motherland in a year from the...
No, a year for the next 3 years.
That's what I was getting at. It appears the Germans are about to receive a crash course and lessons. He who owns the gold makes the rules. Assuming that the New York Fed does decide to comply with the Bundesbank request to keep up appearances for the other central banks, we wish the cartel luck in finding 150 tons of tungsten-free fizz over the next 3 years, and the Bundesbank reportedly will physically verify the gold. So it's interesting. We should probably go a little further on that one because Venezuela did the same thing, whether they got their gold or not.
We don't know.
There was never any follow up to that articles that we wrote. We read last year, but let's see. Assuming that the New York Fed does decide to comply. Germany has the second largest gold reserves in the world, nearly 3,400 tons.
Wow.
Supposedly, because stocks have been checked for authenticity and weight.
Never been checked.
Never, sir. Now the federal court has asked the Bundesbank to examine the gold reserves abroad regularly. The German, can you widen that screen a little for me? There you go. The German bank, central bank gold is safely stored in vaults in Frankfurt, New York, Paris, and London. Checked reality, but apparently no one.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Maybe checked regularly.
But apparently
apparently not by anyone.
I know. It's weirdly written.
The federal court has the Bundesbank now anyway required regular inspection and inventory of the vast gold reserves abroad. The audit explains this in a report on Monday and has become known to the budget committee of Bundestag with the high value of gold holdings.
The samples stored by other German bank stocks were also never by the Bundesbank itself or by other independent auditors, added physically and or authenticity and weight checked. Actually, talk on the subject numerous theories. So should the U.S. gold reserves at Fort Knox have long been looted. The Bundesbank has on the USA's second largest gold reserves in the world. At end of 2011, there were 3,396 tons, worth 133 billion euros. After the soaring price of gold is likely to reach about 142 billion euros currently, even secure the gold. This thing reads like hell.
Yeah, must be translated.
It's got to be translated because it doesn't make much sense. So, Germany is...
In other words, Germany wants to know
back.
They want to know if it's there and...
Yeah.
Are they going to get it back?
Yeah, this must have been a German... sober doctors, I don't know.
It's probably translated, poorly translated from the German, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway.
So, they're going to check and see where their money is. And if it's not there, I'm mad.
I mean, it's difficult to read that. All they got to do is, depends on how they wrote it, but you put it into a Google Translator, you get better English.
One would hope so.
Yeah. So anyway, keep it going. This was this was interesting. Yeah. But
I think we read something like that.
Well, that this was in England.
Yeah.
And they screwed this guy big time.
Yeah, they fired him before he sacked him before he got his pension.
Yeah, 72 hours before qualifying for full army pension.
We read that before.
Yeah. He's suing him. Iceland people bail out. I don't think that's a video we can't get. All right, keep going.
Oh, this is interesting. Facebook turns off automatic facial recognition features for EU in victory for privacy campaigners. That's interesting. We don't have this yet here, do we?
Yeah.
Recognition?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Facebook has turned off its controversial tag suggestions feature for users in Europe in a move that campaigners will hail as a victory for privacy. The social network tool took biometric information provided when users tag friends' faces and photos to make suggestions on the correct tags for the future images. But the company was heavily criticized when it introduced the feature and automatically opted in all users in Europe last June without formally announcing its arrival on site.
And sure, it's doing the same thing now in the United States. India prepares to kick out Monsanto to the curb. I enjoyed this article, what I read of it. And they're having a rough time there. It's not as damning as the headline states. But
oh, really? Is this as a result of the Bhopal?
No. This is...
I'll let you read that.
Okay. This is... it's not quite as damning as it should be, but it's damning enough. India, the world's second most populous country and one of its poorest, has apparently had enough of agribusiness giant Monsanto. According to a recent story in Science magazine, sounding what some regard as the death knell for the development of genetically modified food crops in India, a high-profile parliamentary panel last week recommended that GM crop field trials under any garb should be discontinued forthwith, and that the agricultural GM research should only be done under strict containment. If implemented, the report's recommendation would paralyze research and erode India's food security, warns India's chief of crop research, who's probably a paid-off Monsanto man. Even more damning is this. Following the release of the report, the panel chair said in those uncertain terms, India should not go in for GM food crops. According to the author of the piece, Pallava Gabalagala, Bagala, the panel's recommendation has been looked upon by some as a death knell, okay, for GM foods, sending mixed signals. Consider that for a public policy perspective, it's fair to wonder just how much India will save in health costs alone for its citizens, health expenditures that could have been caused by GM foods, but that would never materialize if countries abandoned such foods altogether. So they're preparing a huge budget just for the poisons and the diseases that GM foods cause.
Wow.
Yeah, and they know it well because we have them here in this country.
Uh huh.
As you might have guessed. I mean, can you imagine everybody getting diabetes over there and everybody getting, cancers and everything else that they're not getting now. But this development is not a new one to those who have been following India's souring relationship with Monsanto over the past few years. History of grief between India and Monsanto. The article further points out in its June issue that the environmental minister was quoted in saying, genetically modified foods have no place in ensuring India's food security. And Indian officials generally admit that utilizing GM food has managed to allow the country to produce much higher yields of economically important crops, such as cotton. But they argue perhaps the biggest driver of the panel's decision is Monsanto's trademarking of its seeds. Controlling the seeds, they believe, is compromising India's food safety and security. And that's what they're doing throughout the whole country, and that's what everybody's pissed off about, is they take these natural seeds all right, that germinate yearly,
mm-hmm.
and are free to the farmer who grows, and they make them sterile. So they have to rebuy them, or they patent the seed, all right, and people have to pay for them, bankrupting the farmers, right?
Whose life is on a slim margin.
Exactly, yeah.
So maybe we could play a little music break?
Yeah, and when we come back, I want to read the 10 urgent preparations for possible riots after the presidential election. Hey, we read this earlier tonight, and we were kind of surprised that they actually put out 10 urgent preparations here, warnings. But we'll play that when we get back. And in the meantime, we'll just go to a quick break. And let's see, play.
Who wrote that article?
The Power Ranger there. Yeah. Mike Adams. But I just wanted to, let me see this thing here. Plans to kill Romney. Want me to check that?
Yeah.
Just to see what that is. He highlights a specific article here that I wanted to see.
Let's see what.
Obama supporters threaten to kill Romney if he wins.
This is InfoWars. By Paul Joseph Watson.
Having already threatened to riot if Obama is unsuccessful in securing a second term, Obama supporters are also flooding Twitter and with threats to assassinate Mitt Romney if he wins the presidential election. Oh, and who's crazy enough to put a threat
on Twitter?
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, you're going to get a knock on your door from the Secret Service, I would think, or somebody.
I would think so. As we reported yesterday, innumerable Obama supporters spoke of their plans to provoke violence and mayhem if Obama lost, aggrieved at fears that Mitt Romney would take away government handouts. However, it seems that the threats to assassinate Romney are proving just as popular as the social network as threats to riot. Pritchie first reported on the death threats on Sunday, but a deluge of new ones have flooded in since, including the following. Here's a couple of them. It says, I swear if Mitt Romney becomes president, I'm going to be the one to assassinate his ass. And
this is what people are saying
on their Twitter.
It
says, I'm telling you, if Romney gets elected, somebody's gone to have to take a L and an A.
Whatever that means.
Assassinate Romney and Ryan, or B, obliterate the WA.
So obviously.
With them in it. Okay. Yeah, if Romney becomes president, Ella, what's the matter? I'm reading these things.
I don't think you need to read them. So
I think it's important.
I don't think it is. You've already just said people are Twittering this. It's ridiculous.
A bunch of idiotic people.
Talk
about it. You know?
It is, but you don't have to read all of them.
If Romney gets elected, someone's going to assassinate him. Okay, that's what they're writing.
All right, so that's enough.
I think it's important to show that. You know?
What are they saying about Obama?
And this is all on Twitter stuff, huh?
What are they saying about Obama?
I don't see anything on Obama.
There's a lot of obscenity. It's ridiculous.
But there's nothing on Obama. So he's talking about Obama supporters writing this. So I'm sorry.
Right here.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, where is that?
I think the article's kind of silly, okay? They've made their point.
Well, let's just read the highlights instead of going into
Yeah, let's not go into everything. The riots will occur in the inner cities. The police will almost instantly be overwhelmed. One of the greatest risks from riots is fires. That's true, because when there were riots in Watts, everything was burned down. But people burned down their own places. It's ridiculous. Innocent bystanders may be trapped with violence. Don't join in the riots. Think long and hard about the possible ramifications of having an Obama sign or a Romney sign in your yard. Stock up on at least 72 hours of supply of extra necessities such as water, food, and medicine. If you're in an at-risk area, stock up on pepper spray and bear spray.
Yeah, just something to keep the bears.
On election day, stay tuned in. Don't be stupid enough to actually make threats against anybody on your Twitter feed or on your Facebook. The act of threatening a presidential candidate is, of course, a felony crime, and those who make such threats on their accounts should expect a visit from the Secret Service. I mean, I don't know why they would do that. As you may have noticed, neither Obama nor Romney has a monopoly on moronic supporters, although from what I can see so far, Obama supporters seem to be making a lot more violent threats online. For the record, the guy who wrote this, I'm not voting for either one. What you wish to do on Election Day is up to you, but I've decided to stop participating in the two-party fraud, which operates much like a gang. Neither the Democrips or the Rebloods or the Republicans get my vote.
Okay. So, essentially, that's the, other predictions if Obama wins are...
If Obama wins.
Expect gun sales to immediately surge to all-time highs.
Watch for a revolt by small business owners who are fed up with health care mandates. They are putting them out of business.
Watch for a surge in gold prices and a sharp drop in the stock market.
Get ready for mass arrests of government whistleblowers, journalists, and critics who will be rounded up under the NDAA and sent to secret military prisons.
Watch out for a massive increase in signing of executive orders where Obama will bypass Congress on everything from gun control to immigration.
If Romney wins, expect to see inner-city riots in cities like L.A., Detroit, and possibly even Houston.
Watch for a joint U.S.-Israel military attack on Iran to happen before February.
Watch for a temporary drop in gold prices to occur as business sector experience short-lived surge in confidence.
Expect a temporary stock market surge reflecting optimism in business and finance sectors.
And no matter who wins, expect more banker bailouts, more expansion of big government, more prosecutions against farmers and home gardeners, more fiat currency by the Fed, more welfare handouts to the masses, more TSA road checkpoints, more abuses of civil liberties by the government, and more erosion of the Bill of Rights, which is already largely ignored by the government.
Yep. And that's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Damn. I'm sorry. I kind of messed up.
What do you want?
This one here. Can I hear it?
Yeah, we've already read that.
No, we didn't.
Oh, I think so. We've read it in the past.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or similar one. This was May 6, 2012.
Oh, it was. Mm-hmm. We probably did read that. All right. You want to read that? Four natural remedies for a quick and easy gut detox.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, it gets rid of bacteria. Pathogenic bacteria already exists in even a healthy gut, but the healthy gut maintains a balance between beneficial and pathogenic bacteria of usually 80 to 85% beneficial to 20 or 15% pathogenic. This ratio is normal for a human body that houses an estimated 100 billion or 1 trillion by American
numerical
standards,
gene.
Thank you, and bacterial microbes. It's only that when that ratio begins going the other way that the diseases strike with impunity.
That's because in addition to digesting foods well, which alone is essential to good health, those friendly bacteria work in harmony with our overall immune system throughout the body. It's estimated that 60 to 80% of our immune system depends on friendly or probiotic bacteria. Unfortunately, the standard American diet and our pharmaceutical-oriented mainstream medical system are the guiltiest of tilting the balance of probiotic and pathogenic bacteria. The imbalance creates small intestine bacterial growth. Fungal yeast infections may come to mind for most, but SIBO manifests a myriad of diseases ranging from irritable bowel syndrome to type 2 diabetes and other maladies, usually treated with pharmaceuticals that perpetuate the problem.
There's one other thing I wanted to... Do you want to go through all that?
Yeah, well, let's read a little more. Malabsorption is the more subtle...
Because there's one more article after this I'd like to think is important, because it says multivitamins drastically reduce cancer risk in men. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Malabsorption is more subtle, overlooked expression of SIBO. The more you eat, the less your small intestines absorbs the nutrients from food and into your bloodstream. Low energy, fatigue, and obesity are the obvious symptoms. And the impulsive energy solutions of consuming more processed carbs and caffeine worsens the conditions. Eventually, life-threatening diseases may develop. Antibiotics destroy all types of bacteria, including the good guys. Vaccinations are destructive also. GMOs transfer genes, wreak havoc with gut bacteria, genetic DNA and RNA, sugar, HFCS, processed carbohydrates, and trans fatty processed oils compromise the bulk of non-GMO dietary SIBO causation, and that's small intestine bacteria overgrowth. Reversing the bacterial imbalance. The first step is reversing the diet from SAD to mostly fresh, high-fiber, whole organic foods. Minimize processed foods, even those sold at health food stores. Avoid GMOs and trans-fatty hydrogenated oil. Stop drinking soda. Eat more organic raw fruits, nuts, vegetables, especially greens. This promotes a slightly alkaline inner terrain that discourages pathogenic bacteria from thriving. So that's important.
And the four herbs that help detox the gut are garlic, peppermint oil, Codaco.
Never heard of it.
It's one of nature's most powerful remedies for all sorts of diseases and ailments, even cancer. One must make sure to purchase P-A-U.
Paul
yeah,
Darko.
The Arco.
Darko.
D apostrophe. Arco, A-R-C-O, extracted from the inner barks of South American rainforest trees. It's a powerful antifungal, antibacterial, and antiviral natural medicine that won't interfere with the friendly bacteria of someone's intestinal flora.
Oregano oil, I think this is fabulous, is also a powerful antibacterial, antiviral that leaves the beneficial bacteria alone. Make sure your choice of oregano oil is organic or wild. Seek the highest level of carvacrol, oregano's active ingredient, to make sure you get the most potent oregano oil. And I can really vouch for that. That cures many, many things. And it's a food. There's no side effect, folks.
No, and you can get it. We get it from Natural Urban Spice, so you might want to check
and
it.
And I always have it on hand because it clears up infections immediately. If you have a toothache, it handles that.
Yeah, it's
it
great.
Does
it's
all kinds
it's
of things. It's
stuff.
A miracle thing. And
any kind of infection, it just destroys right away. And I think the most incredible thing is a toothache. If you have a toothache, and
just
put that on there, and you'd be surprised how quickly it stops the pain. It just stops if you have an abscess or something or anything that's
and it
affected.
Can clean up the infection.
And it cleans up the infection. And it's a miraculous thing that oregano, oil of oregano, and So we got about 10 more minutes. Let's see if we can go to. There are one more I wanted on here. This one. Multivitamins drastically reduce cancer risk in men. I was kind of surprised to hear that.
But not in women?
It says men.
Hmm.
It's not that the hundreds of billions of dollars spent over the years on cancer research had been a complete waste, but sometimes the simplest answer is the best one. In this case, researchers seem to have confirmed what science has known for quite some time, that a well-balanced diet is the secret to better health. It just released a study of nearly 15,000 men over the age of 50, suggests that taking a daily supplemental vitamin could reduce rates of cancer by about 8%. That's not that much. What may not sound like much, but it's enough of a risk reduction to make it worth your while to pop a vitamin one a day. Multivitamin or a Centrum. Despite the lack of definite trial data regarding the benefits of multivitamins in the prevention of chronic disease, including cancer, many men and women take them for precisely this reason. said Dr. Michael Gazzano, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical, and the lead author of the book of these published today in the Journal of American Medicine. Our study shows a modest but significant benefit in cancer prevention.
Mm.
So, they go into the study, and it's kind of long. Poor dietary habits make a multivitamin necessary. So if you're not eating right or you're eating fast foods or any of that, it says, clearly the notion of megadoses of isolated nutrients has been proven wrong again and again. He said, maybe the active ingredient in broccoli is broccoli. It goes on. But I just wanted to say, if you take a multivitamin, you reduce your chance by 8% over the average guy.
Well, that's always good.
And it's even better if you and your chances are much better if you eat a normal or healthy, if you eat healthy. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay, get into that.
What's that?
Bush and Blair wanted for war crimes.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I didn't realize they were traveling together again.
No, they're not. They're just wanted
by
the same international courts. This is one of the more frightening articles I saw tonight, and I wanted to share it with you and have Lila read part of it. I can get back to it here.
Sometimes it's hard to bring up an article, folks. It takes a minute or two.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hang on a second.
People didn't know what happened to you, Leo. You're not saying a word.
I know.
There.
No, this.
He's
this
concentrating.
I'm trying to get this on. This. I'm trying to bring this one up. Earthquake causing fracking. Earthquake causing fracking to be allowed within 500 feet of a nuclear plant. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. Who is this? Who are these stupid people?
Is
this probably in this country?
Yeah.
Yeah?
American government has officially stated that fracking can cause earthquakes. Some fracking companies now admit that this fact, the scientific community agrees that this, and this. Earthquake can, of course, damage nuclear power plants. For example, even the operator of Fukushima and Japanese government now admit that the nuclear core might have started melting down before the tsunami ever hit.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just going to go into this here. Indeed, the fuel pool... I'm having a hard time reading that. Indeed, the fuel pools and rods at Fukushima appear to have boiled, caught fire and or exploded soon after the earthquake knocked out power systems. See, there's four articles to look at and if to verify that. And the fuel pools in the United States store an average of 10 times more radioactive fuel than that stored in Fukushima, have virtually no safety features, and are vulnerable to accidents and terrorist attacks. All right? Indeed, American reactors may even be worse, even more vulnerable to earthquakes in Fukushima.
Wow.
But American nuclear regulators have allowed numerous nuclear power plants to be built in earthquake zones. Jeez. Some plants are located in very high earthquake risk zones, and they are covered up. They have covered up the risk from earthquakes for 10 years, just like the Japanese regulators did, for example. The NRC, or Nuclear Regulation Committee, Regulatory Committee won't even begin conducting its earthquake study for Indian Point near nuclear plant in New York until after relicensing is complete in 2013, because the NRC doesn't consider a big earthquake a serious risk. Congressman Markey has said that there is a cover-up. Specifically, Markey alleges that the head of the NRC told everyone not to write down risks they find from an earthquake greater than 6.0, and the plant was only built to survive a 6.0 earthquake. We have four reactors in California, two at San Onofre, two in San Luis Obispo, which are vulnerable to earthquakes and tsunamis. For example, Diablo Canyon is located on numerous earthquake faults, and the state legislator and seismic experts say it could turn into California's Fukushima. On July 26, 2011, the California Energy Commission held hearings concerning the state's nuclear safety. And during those hearings, the chairman of the commission asked government experts whether or not they felt the facilities could withstand a maximum credible quake. The response was that they did not know. And this is similar to what happened at Fukushima. Seismologists said dire warnings were ignored. And yet the Nuclear Regulatory Commission doesn't even take earthquake risk into account when deciding whether or not to relicense plants like Diablo Canyon. Can you imagine that?
No, frankly, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I'm very against nuclear power anyway.
Here these bastards are doing fracking. All right? American nuclear regulators are allowing earthquake-inducing fracking to be conducted mere feet from nuclear power plants. As the Herald Standard reports, Chesapeake Energy has a permit to frack just 1 mile from the Beaver Valley Nuclear Power Station and shipping port. Whether that is cause for alarm, experts can't say. Hydraulic fracking near a nuclear plant is probably not a concern under normal circumstances, Brett says, engineer. He said, if there is a pre-stress fault that you happen to lubricate there, that is the only thing that might result in something that is seismically measurable. That's not very reassuring, given the lubrication of faults is the main mechanism by which fracking causes earthquakes. Indeed, the point is illustrated by the analogous fact that leading Japanese seismologists said that the Fukushima earthquake lubricated nearby faults, making a giant earthquake more likely than ever. The Akron Beacon Journal notes fracking is allowed within 500 feet of nuclear plants. They're not aware of any potential impacts and don't expect any, said First Energy spokesman Jennifer Young. We see no reason to be particularly concerned. These people are crazy.
Uh-huh.
But experts can't say if the proposed well so close to two nuclear power plants is cause for concern. DEP spokesperson John Poister told a Shale reporter that there are no required setbacks specifically relating to a required distance between such shale wells and nuclear facilities. Just a blanket regulation requiring a 500-foot setback from any building to a natural gas well. Brilliant. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely, totally, incredibly amazing?
It is.
You know,
really
that they would allow
it.
Unfreaking believable.
I don't know.
You can get this one.
It's so depressing. Where is the cheerful news?
Global Research. I got this from Global Research. Check it out there. We only got 2 minutes. Let's see if there's any. Oh yeah. Poverty, unemployment, homelessness in America, rage against austerity.
Read the highlight on that.
On this one.
On the poverty one. Yeah.
They did it when vital help is needed. Officially, it's called austerity, and Obama calls it shared sacrifice. In other words, ordinary people sacrifice to let rich ones share. Rape, pillage, loot, steal, or plunder best describes it. The name of the game is shifting public wealth to bankers, other corporate favorites, and wealthy elites already with too much. It's gone on for decades. Post 9/11, Bush and Obama took it to the highest levels. They represent wealth, power, and privilege. Serving them means throwing everyone else under the bus. And that's what's going on under the Obama administration, as well as the will happen under, guess who, you know.
Have
that's about
you're
it.
Gonna wind
you're going to wind up here. We've got 47 seconds. But check that one out. Go check out Global Research. I think you'll really enjoy it. There are a lot of great articles there.
So thanks for being with us.
And thank you very much.
Listen tomorrow night when we bring you Strictly some union news. That's going to be in the forefront.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about our candidates out here in Western Connecticut. And I hope you guys
right
enjoy the rest
and,
of the night.
We'll fill you in on what's going on. So have a good night, everyone.
Good night, folks.